Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining me shortly. Well, we are back. We didn't do a show Monday. Some things got a little turned around in my schedule, so I had to tweak it. But we are back on a Thursday afternoon. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that this is the first Thursday afternoon game. Thursday afternoon show. I believe we did a Wednesday afternoon. But anyway, we are back, and we gave you a couple of days to cool off after that Patriots, especially fourth quarter debacle. Some people, you know, saying the whole game was a debacle. It was closer than the score kind of, you know, leads you on to believe. But like I said, we are back. And, you know, we got another week. We got another game. And this is here we are again, another must-win game. Wow. So we, of course, will discuss that Patriots game from last weekend, from last Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, I should say. 24-10, the Vikings go down, drop to 6-5-1. And as we assumed, you know, we got a lot of we got our work cut out for us for Minnesota Vikings. Anyway, we got a lot still decided, though. There's four games left, so we'll see. Of course, some of the topics that we'll be covering when we, you know, talking about that Patriots game is the running game. The running game blues continue. It really looked like, you know, Dalvin Cook was ready. He had a really great game if you look at the opportunities he was given. So yeah, more issues there. Some of the things they were doing to take away Diggs and Thielen forced us into certain things like short passing. We did see a little bit more of the no huddle. Should we see more of it? Will we see more of it? We'll see. We'll definitely see. Defensively, they had too many long drives, the Patriots did in the second half defensively. We had some cornerback injuries that piled up, some missed tackles on some plays that, you know, they were the scheme was right. The player was in the right position. They just missed the tackle. So we'll go over that. Of course, we got to look forward to this. Well, I should say this weekend, but it's really Monday night. The Seattle Seahawks, what are they, 7-5 or 6-5? Or I can't remember. I think they're 6-5. Either way, we got a big game coming up, man. Big, big game on the road. We spoke about these road games all season long. Ay, ay, ay. But that's what happens when you win the division and you have one of the better, you know, records from last year, 13-3. You're going to end up, you know, with some of this. Some of these tough games. It is what it is. But, yeah, we're going to look, you know, towards the Seattle Seahawks for Monday Night Football. Hopefully those Vikings can pull it out. It's a big, big game. Then they have, what, two of the last three at home, I believe. So we'll see how it goes. We will talk a little bit of Gopher stuff late in the show. Or we may throw in a little Gopher basketball, why not? But that'll be later in the show. Right now, let's get down to business. I'm going to go ahead and well, before I do that, if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, you can find it right here. It streams live in archives on blogtalkradio.com/ropeandope radio. Okay, so like I said, it streams live. It archives here. It's basically the headquarters for this show. If you want to listen to the show on a variety of other platforms, you do have, you know, a lot to choose from. Under the Rope and Dope Radio podcast, you know, we have iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, a whole lot of outlets. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Okay, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network is available everywhere as well, a lot of places I just mentioned. It revolves around, you know, football and boxing and baseball and basketball, just so you know. You can stream it live on iHeartRadio or Spotify, this show right there, through the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Subscribe to them. Visit the website, thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. Read an article, podcast while you're there. Make a bet. Mybookie.ag is where it will link to you. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host. What's going on, Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. Good. Weird thing happened. My phone just died weird, so it was cool that I could get the call back in. It was like 16 seconds. My phone totally shut off. Anyways, yeah, it's weird to do a Thursday show, Thursday afternoon. I'm kind of glad, though, because otherwise I would have railed on about the officials and the Patriots game. So I think I'm a little bit over that now. I was pretty fired up on Monday, so I think I've moved on. But, yeah, let's get on to talking about
it. Yeah, I saw that. You dropped it. I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? Did my switchboard drop it? Do I have to refresh? Should I get help from Blog Talk? And then I saw you pop right back on. I was like, okay, we're good. I guess the Thursday day show is just like, well, we're going to mess with you a little bit. You know, let's start right there. We're not going to go on some long rant, you know, or whatever. Like you said, we've had, you know, a chance to cool down a little bit. Let's start with the officiating. What were some of your complaints there as far as, you know, pertaining to that last game in Seattle?
You mean the one at the Patriots game?
Sorry, the last game against the Patriots.
Don't really have any officiating problems.
I'm trying to get ahead of the game.
Right. Yeah, I don't really. You know, as the game was going, it just seemed like, man, no wonder it's hard to win in Foxborough in December. You can't get any calls. So I picked out a few things I thought were kind of interesting. And like I said, I'm not the kind of guy that usually goes off about officiating, obviously, but I thought there was some pretty glaring stuff there. First thing was the spot that Zimmer had to challenge, which was like, you know, almost a yard off. And that's where it kind of started. And then, you know, he challenged it, so that got worked out. And then, you know, then Belichick challenged a spot, and he lost it. So there's two spots there that were kind of weird. And then the two PIs in the end zone, which were, you know, pretty much agreed upon, pass interferences. And the thing that didn't really bother me so much was the non-call. It was more of the smirking ref as he ran off the field. I was like, really? You know, on the second PI, I was like, really? You're going to laugh? And I understand why Thielen was pissed. I know exactly what he said. He ran over and called him a cheater. And, you know, Belichick didn't, obviously, as you can read his lips, he didn't care for that much. But I can understand what Thielen was thinking there because, you know, they just weren't getting anything. And then, of course, they have to follow it up with that pass interference call on Holton Hill, which was huge, just playing good defense as far as I was concerned. So, yeah, and then there's the holding call that brought back the 26-yard run by Dalvin Cook. It was a nice run. It was really – and they didn't show you that one. They didn't show you the holding call on that one. So I was just a little bit upset about all that. I thought there was a lot of home cooking, I guess we could call it that. But I thought it was a little bit excessive. And, you know, I'm not one to complain about officiating because it usually evens out, but it just seemed like any time in the second half there that the Vikings had a chance to maybe come back in, there was a weird judgment call that would change the way the game went. But, you know, in the end, I thought, you know, the game kind of turned out the way that it was played, so I'm not going to go on and say that that was the reason the Vikings lost. They definitely could have played better, but I just thought, you know, that's a nice little advantage to have there playing at home in Foxborough.
Yeah, yeah, there were a couple of those pass interference that stand. That one we had to settle for a field goal, that one was egregious. It's like, what are you talking about? But, yeah, I noticed that, too. In the spot, I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up because that's something that I totally spaced. Maybe because the days have gone by or whatever. I try to put it out of my memory. But that's when we're talking about the topics for the show, I'm glad that you brought that up. And I think it's worth leading with. As far as the game goes, just a quick summary of it. You know, I think it was the second drive that the Patriots just kind of marched down. Fairly easy touchdown. Like, okay, whatever. We'll see. It happens early in the games. You know, a lot of people score on their first or second drive. They have it all mapped out or whatever. They've been working on it all week. It's their best plays they could put together against our defense or something. That's really no big deal. As far as the Vikings offense, you had three punts out of the first four possessions. Not the greatest there. We had a long, you know, not a long drive, but we had a successful drive that we could have gotten a 48-yard field goal. But we had a nice drive going, actually. There was, I think it was a sack on second down, and then pressure that just forced, you know, a throwaway on third down, and that forced that field goal. So that backed us up a little bit. And the thing about the field goal, it's one thing to hit the post. Like, can we get back to hitting the post? I'd like to just hit the post. That'd be nice because this shit is going way like at the kick, at the delivery of the, you know what I mean? At the impact. You're just like, oh, yeah, that's not making it. Like, that's, you know, 48 yards is not short, but at least be like going online and then fading at the end. Or like I said, hit the post. That is one of those things. You could see, though, that Dalvin Cook was running hard early and often. He had that 32-yard run. You could really see. It's kind of that first moment where the whole game you're like, okay, I really think Dalvin might be really close to being back, all the way back from that injury. It looked really, really good. You know, it was 10-0 after that 15-play drive. Lasted 8 minutes. Just a grinded out drive by the Pats. And I thought, man, let's pick this up. And sure enough, we did have, you know, I think there was a third and inches later in the first half that the defense held. And so it set up a touchdown drive in a sense, you know what I mean? Because we had our 2-minute drill going. I think it was below 2 minutes, scored a touchdown. What do you know? You know, no huddle. It works again. Of course, you're going to do that more. I remember Rudolph making a great catch right around there. He made a couple of those. So, you know, you're sitting at half and you're like, okay, we got some of that stuff out early. I think we're in this. And if you go to the beginning of the third, both sides, both offenses were held to three and outs. And then both had 12 play drives. They missed a field goal. We made one. Thielen did drop a couple of passes in this game. We've been praising him all year. I did think a couple were like, huh. So maybe he didn't have his best game or whatever. Maybe he's just a little frustrated too. Although, you know, what you were saying about Thielen being mad at that point, I agree. I totally agree. We did start to, and I think this was second quarter as well. I forgot to mention this. The cornerback injury started piling up somewhat. Now, you know, you had Zimmer saying, well, I mean, it was still 10-10 late in the game, and that is true. It definitely was. But, you know, in second half-wise, we moved the ball better, but we still had three and outs. You know, that's just too many. And we also had a fourth quarter turnover on downs on a fourth and inches. We talk about these third and inches, these third and ones, these fourth and shorts that we are having issues unless we pass out of nowhere making, or once in a while we've done a QB sneak or we've made some of them, but it just really goes to that strength of the offensive line or lack thereof. The biggest thing for me really was the Patriots down the stretch. You know, they responded with those back-to-back touchdown drives and put it out of reach. And even a late 11-play drive, it was almost 4 minutes. They didn't score, sure. They did end up punting. But when you have the ball, you know, for that kind of time, that's huge. And when we got that field goal to make it 10-10, just to respond that quick, and then we turn right around and turn it over on downs, it's like, but then our defense stood up a little bit, got us the interception, which led right to something, you know, a turnover on us. And so it is what it is. I know we do a weekly update on Cousins. Is it time to cut him and all that type of stuff? To be honest with you, I saw some people blaming this one on Cousins this game again. And two more turnovers. I got news for you. That turnover with 27 seconds left, that means nothing to me. And if you're going to say that was a horrible interception pass in the end zone, I disagree. Our guy had the ball first. He didn't come down with it. Was it in tight coverage? Yeah, it was. It wasn't a horrible pass. It was right on the money. Our guy had it first. But it kind of seemed like our guy wanted to act like it was practice and just put his hands out rather than putting his hands up. He didn't have to jump. Just put your hands up and try to get to the ball first. You could say it was tight coverage. It was. But our guy had the ball first. Then it bobbled. Then it got picked in the end zone. So it is what it is. Just a kind of a nutshell thing as we start to break down some of these topics. And running game. Let's start there. Delvin Cook, you know, he's a Florida State running back. Me and Aaron, our co-host here, we have a Miami, Florida State thing going on. But once they hit the pros, they hit the pros. And especially when you join the Vikings, you know what I mean? Obviously. Delvin Cook, you know that whole song, Put Me In Coach? This guy was ready to play. Give him the rock, can we? What is up with the amount of rushing yards? You look at his average yards per carry was like 12 something in the first half. It ended up at like 9 something. And Zimmer is doing, and I'm going to let you talk in a second, but Zimmer, I thought Zimmer said one really good thing, that the Patriots kept us off balance on both sides of the ball. I agree with him there. But Zimmer doing the good cop, bad cop routine when it comes to this running game, and flip. He'll say, gosh, we needed to run more the next day. He's doing a great job, though. Which one is it, and can we run the ball more? Not can we run the ball, because we see, you know, we talked about the last couple of weeks, the average per carry is the same average per carry as last year. You're just missing well over 100 carries. I'm not saying let's give them 35 and just see if we can win every game like that. No. But do we need to always throw the ball so damn much in a tight game? This wasn't a game that was out of reach. We still managed to throw it 44 times, and we had 13 carries. Cook had 9 for 84 for 9.3. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I have to agree with you on a lot of these points. I thought Delvin played really well. I haven't seen him run the ball that well since maybe the Saints game his rookie year, and that was his first NFL game. He just seemed like he had his speed back and his vision back, and he was really getting through the holes. They were creating holes for him. And I'm as confused as you are as to why they went away from that. It was definitely working, and Zimmer's got to walk that tightrope of having a perspective head coach, offensive coordinator guy. Don't want to ruin his career by bad-mouthing him, but at the same time, he wants the ball ran, and he's been saying it for weeks, and it just doesn't seem to happen, and they start off with a little bit of run, and then it just dictates, and I'm really starting to question, the ability of DeFilippo to call plays. This is his first real chance to do it in the NFL, so obviously he's not very experienced at it. So I'm sure that, give him some time, he'll become a really good play caller. It's just maybe he's not there right now. I'm not that dissatisfied with, besides the lack of running the football, I'm not that dissatisfied with his system or the plays that he's calling in terms of that. I just, like you said, he's got 90 yards on nine carries or something like that, 89 or something, and you'd think you'd go back to that. Short yardage is still a really big issue. I don't know why we can't get a yard when we need a yard. There's, you know, quarterback sneak or do something to get yourself a yard. That's really become quite a problem. Kicking game, yeah, I mean, what do you? All you can say is, what are you going to do? I mean, we've brought in a new kicker. We've tried everything. And they're missing, like you said, just get close to the crossbar again. I think we'll take that. I mean, you missed one. I like my chances
with a hit in the post. We got a better shot than just left right away, you know?
Right. It's just gotten to a point where it's like, you can no longer question if there is an issue. Now we know there is an issue. How are we going to remedy it? Quickly touch on Cousins. You're right. I'm still in that spot with Kirk where I can't really judge him cleanly until we have a better offensive line situation, which hopefully will happen next year. I mean, he's got to get through it this year. He's got to play well through it. I think what we did the game before with getting him outside of the pocket, running bootlegs, keeping him moving probably is a better idea than setting him back there. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it was good to see Rudolph get involved again. Thielen, you know, he missed that one catch, which was a tough catch. I mean, laid out just off the tip of his fingers. I think he gave everything he could to catch that. The other drop was because he was still pissed at Belichick, and I can understand that.
Yeah.
Maybe felt a little, you know, so I'm not too worried about that. But, yeah, overall, you know, we've been harping on it all season long, and it's not so much the run game. It's the attempts, the running attempts. They just haven't been there, and they haven't been consistent throughout the game. I think that's probably what Zimmer's complaint is as well. So, yeah, at this point, man, you know, you were saying you don't want to see it 35 times. At this point, let's see what 29 rushing attempts. You know, I don't care which back,
right.
Murray, Boone, I don't care. I mean, I'd like to see Cook get a nice percentage of that, but I want to see him run the football. I mean, it's what you do if your offensive line is not protecting well, and they're not. It is a problem up the middle. The guards, you know, Remmers and Compton, they're trying hard, don't get me wrong, but they're just – they're getting whooped, and you got to do something about that.
Yeah, and just to add, well, I guess a little salt and lemon in the wound when it comes to this running game, but in 2017, you know, and we're not done, so we could turn this percentage around, of course, but 48% of the time the Vikings ran the ball. This year it's 36%, and just a deeper dive. You know, we have, what is it, 253 carries for 3.91 per carry. That's what we have. And last season, we ran the ball for 3.91. Actually, I think that 3.91 was going into this game. But either way, for carries, 240, right? Right now, with four games left, we have 253. That was heading into that game. We have 253. We had 501 last season. So there's no way in hell we're going to even get close to that with four games left. So when you're talking, I'm not saying double the runs because we still have four more games, of course, but that really, you know, shows a lot. It's just like, come on, run the ball. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying, you know, give one guy all the carries, but – you know, I can also see what you just said too, actually, because you're like, well, shit, why don't we try it? I mean, we're not beating the good teams this way, are we? No, we're not. So why not? So I don't know, man. That's rough. You know, they doubled Diggs and Thielen, like you mentioned. Rudolph got in the game. Would have been nice to get the ball out to Cook in space a little bit more. I take that back, not Cook. No, he had 8 catches. We just couldn't really get stuff going. It would have been nice to be able to, you know, get some yards on those. I think that's what I was trying to say. It was a lot of short passing because they doubled up. We couldn't get anything really that explosive. They'd either show a blitz and then fall back with more people in coverage. And because you can get so much pressure with the line, you don't have to blitz. You can fake a blitz and, you know, disguise stuff even more. Like I said, though, we were still in the game late in the third. And technically, I think early fourth. I can't remember if that 10-10 went into the early fourth. I think it did. But speaking on offense, since we're on that side of the ball, the no huddle had a little bit more success, not just in that 2-minute drill. Is that another thing that we just got to try? And hey, let's just try something else. Because you can still run out of that. The no huddle, should we see more of it?
Yeah, at this point, I'm willing to see anything that gets us moving down the field and ahead of the chains. I like it. I think it's good to keep the defense off balance and maybe control a little bit of their substitution. I think it's been working, so if it works, you know, stick with it. Obviously, you don't want to do the whole game no huddle, but in spurts where you pick up the tempo and get them moving, especially, like, you know, if you can create the rhythm, get their offense in rhythm, it helps with the tempo too. But, you know, these three and outs are really starting to be killers, and we're seeing more and more of them. You know, you're not getting any first downs, especially, like, you know, you game plan all week, and then you come out and you first drive, you have a three and out. That's really depressing. And you saw what the Patriots did. They came out, went right down the field, and, you know, that's what a good football team does. So we're not doing that, and that's another cause for concern, because, you know, everybody's fresh then. You should be able to run the ball a couple of times and get a first down. But that's not happening, so you got to find alternatives. I think, you know, Flips has really cut down on the razzle-dazzle and the behind the line of scrimmage type of stuff. And kind of, you know, which I think Zimmer probably prodded him to do so, but I think that's kind of his style. So I think it's, like, you know, kind of a fine line of how far you can go with kind of reining him in and still allowing him to be himself. A lot of people are having troubles with him, and I just think, you know, he needs a little bit of time like everybody else. And I think he'll be back next year at the rate this offense is going. I can't see anybody hiring him as an offensive genius by any
stretch. I was thinking about that, man. We had that discussion earlier too, like, huh? Are we going to be able to keep him? He's such a hot commodity. It's like, in the back of your head, you're like, huh, maybe we'll have no problems keeping him now. You know, that's the way how that you know, that kind of goes. And you know, we talked about Cousins, judging him. You know, we need to judge him with a better offensive line as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to switch over to defense here quick because, you know, kind of exhausted what we want to see out of the offense. It's kind of the same thing every week, but I saw some really interesting things that were done by the Patriots and our defense. First thing I saw and I noticed, which is a really good idea, we like to show that double A gap blitz, and what the Patriots did is they said, well, if they're going to be in the gap, there's no way they can get to the flat. And they started throwing out in the flat, and the linebackers were sucked in those gaps, and we couldn't get out there. That's how they started out the game, and I thought that was brilliant. I don't think I'd seen anybody really try to do that before. And that really worked for those first couple of drives. If you noticed, everything was short passes to the outside, and we were trying to get inside of those gaps and, you know, disguise a few blitzes or fall back into coverage. And I thought that was a really good way to go about attacking us, and I hope that we can get that fixed. Maybe pull the safeties down and have them cover the flat a little bit more. I think Rhodes probably had one of his worst games the times he was in there. I know he's a little hobbled with the hamstring, I guess. And then the depletion of the secondary is an issue you brought up earlier, where we have a lot of corners, and we've got, what, two now? We've got Rhodes says he's coming back for Seattle, so that's a good thing. So we got, you know, Waynes, Rhodes, Hill, and Sherrill's just got picked on, and that wasn't good. So I thought we held up well, considering the back end was a little depleted. We could have got a better pass rush, I thought. I didn't like what we were doing there. I didn't see any stunts. I thought they tried to be pretty vanilla with it and just get a four-man rush, and it just wasn't getting there. That, you know, with Brady, you got to pressure him, or he'll just pick you apart. So that was a huge thing. I know Kendricks had the pick, and I think he played well, 14 tackles or 16 tackles. That was pretty good. Kendricks type of game where you get a lot of tackles. I didn't see any real problems with what he was doing. So I think, you know, on the whole, besides the Patriots finding holes in the zone, which is what they do best, we didn't, you know, just to sum it up, I don't really think we took away what they did best. I think we allowed them to play up to their strengths, and that kind of caused us problems. Now, you're right, they didn't score a credible amount of points on us in the first half. And the second half, you know, it's hard to tell. You have a touchdown on a touchdown, and game's kind of over. And I think that's kind of the roadmap they used to kind of – and it just felt like scheme-wise, maybe we took a wrong turn somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, add that on to a couple of missed tackles, especially out in that flat that you're saying, if we even got there in general. And, yeah, to me, it was a very, I shouldn't say dominant, but the way they closed the game with those drives, I think there was about three or four of them. Like, even that one, like I mentioned, that was like, you know, they punted the ball, but who gives a shit if it's late in the game, you get the ball for 11 plays, almost 4 minutes. That's huge. But, yeah, those back-to-back, you know, those back-to-back touchdown drives. And, of course, they scored. It was 10-10. They scored. And what we do? Oh, three and out. Here, you can have a three and out. It's just like, really, dude? Like, we had three and outs in the second half. Like, that's just not how you win ball games. And, yeah, I think you summed it up well. I thought you made a couple of really good points defensively. It just didn't have their best game. We didn't see that pass rush as well. Good point there. Yeah, I think we can pretty much fold this one up and get to Seattle. We're going to talk a little bit about the Seattle Seahawks game. That is Monday night. All these late afternoon Monday night or night games and all that. we got to show up, man. We got to show up on national TV. We've only done it once. Well, not show up. I shouldn't say that, because we had some, I mean, that Saints and the Rams, we showed up in some of these games, but now we have to overcome. We have to beat one of these quality teams on, not just on television, because, you know, it is what it is, but it does, it just gives you that confidence. And when you look at this injury report, like you said, Trey Waynes right now is questionable. BB and Morgan are questionable as well. It would be nice to have Morgan back as a, you know, a blocker and whatnot. Sometimes he sneaks out, you know, of that off the line and gets something going. Shamar Stephen, we know him. He's questionable for them. Couple other players for them are questionable as well. Right now, Vegas has the over-under set at 45.5. They do. They basically have it an even game. Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 3-point favorite. Yeah, they do. It's an even game, basically, because it's a 3-point favorite. And as we know, Seattle's played a lot better of late. They've really turned it on, especially their last game. They really look good, 43-16. Now, the Niners, sure, we could say, oh, it's the Niners, that's great. But either way, you know, how many teams have we blown out? You know what I mean? Like, you got to put it all in perspective. But they've just been playing better, man. But they've had some tight games that they've beaten, you know, or won. They've won at Carolina close. Green Bay, very close, lost to, it's basically close, loser, you know, win or lose, 36-31 to the Rams. The Chargers, very good, 25-17. You know, early in the year, they played the Rams twice, 33-31. Man, they had two tight games. The Cardinals back then were not a good team, barely beat them 20-17, barely lost to the Broncos, at Broncos and at Chicago. So, they're battle-tested. They've had a tough schedule as well, no doubt about that when you look at it. And they're sitting at 7-5. This is gonna be a tough one, man. On the road, we know that stadium gets freaking loud. Yeah, we know that. It's a night game, so they're going to be extra saucy. And it'll probably be fairly cold. Luckily, it's not a warm week here. I mean, it's December, so it's probably not going to be. Neither team stands out right now on defense like they're just nasty or whatever. They've been playing better. But, you know, the Vikings played pretty good defense anyway. But really, the last five games or whatever, it's definitely improved than what we saw earlier in the year. But they have managed to put it together offensively. Past Seattle, and they've done it a lot with the run game. Right now, they're all the way up to almost basically 149 a game, which is a whole lot compared to our 86. I mean, you're getting close to doubling it right there. They do give up the run a little bit more. Same with the pass, but they just find a way to get it done. You spoke of that string a couple of weeks ago, that string of quarterbacks that we faced. Here we are. You know, against Russell Wilson, having another pretty damn solid year. And it just seems like Seattle is on the up and up with a lot of momentum heading into this game, Aaron.
Yeah, it really does. They seem to be improving throughout the season on both offense and defense, you know, and they're in a win streak here, which is a little bit, you know, they're riding high, and we're coming in kind of, and I won't say low, but just kind of middling through the season, and that's got to change. You know, the running game's good. Carson and Penny seem to be a good combination with a little power and speed there, and Penny's really picked up his game. Lately, I don't know if he had an injury earlier in the year or not, but he's really come on and run strong. So I'm a little bit worried about the running game. Defensively, there's Bobby Wagner, and he's always a problem. And their defense has gotten good. They've got the same type of guys they had with Sherman and stuff, the same size and speed type of deal. So they're kind of back in a way in their old defense, Legion of Boom, I guess, and the crowd noise and all that stuff. And, yeah, there's been a rash of these. I know it's because we're a good team or they thought we were going to be a good team coming into this part of the season. So we've got a lot of night games and a lot of national TV games. And, you know, it's just proven out over time that we're not playing well in the spotlight, you know, concerning to me, especially when you've got so many in the month of December. And I think that comes down a little bit after this. I don't think the Miami game is a spotlight game, but yeah, it's just starting to become more of a trend that we just don't seem to play well in those spots, and we really need to start, because it's getting to a point here in the season where, you know, it's make or break, and this is it. I mean, we had a must win last week, and we got a must win this week, and this, everyone just gets more and more. We lose our margin for error, and I got a feeling that the Packers are going to swing back a little bit after their coaching change. I think that'll kind of unleash Rodgers. So I think the bottom will be coming up a little bit more than we anticipate it might. And so we really got to win this one here in Seattle. And it's going to be a tough task. They've got good players and a good coaching staff. And it's another road game in primetime. So, you know, that's always a problem. We've got to get this one. Vegas has got it, like you said, +3. So they think it's a pick 'em. I think if we can get some rush on Wilson, because he's, you know, he's always playing well this time of year. So got to get some rush on him and make it hard for his receivers outside. And again, stop the run. We can't give up 6 yards a run. It's been a problem all year, and it can't continue.
Yeah, and they're pretty damn good. I'm trying to look it up right now against the run where they actually rank. Thought they were up there. Shoot, I can't. Because we're pretty good at stopping the run. We're not great. Where the hell? Why is it? Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Yeah, it just won't let me. It's just kind of frozen for some reason. But
I'm sure our average is pretty good, but I'm getting sick of seeing, you know, first down runs of 5.5 yards, 6 yards. It's just not going to help you. Second down, you're second and four, you know, second and five. It's not good defense. You got to hold it to, like, you know, four or under seems to be a good for a first down run. You know, you want it 2 or 3, maybe 4 yards. You get past that 5 yard mark, and it just makes it too easy to pick up first downs. And I've just been seeing that a lot this year, and it's uncharacteristic, especially, you know, the type of front we have. It seems like we should be able to stop the run. I don't know if Linval's a little nicked up or what, but he's always been a real beast in stopping it up front, and just haven't seen it this year. So I hope they can get that together going into Seattle.
You know, just the other, I think it was a couple of games ago, and then this last game, someone mentioned that as well. I was talking to how they think, man, maybe Lindell is nicked up, because how many times have you called his name in the last month? You know what I mean? I mean, maybe he's just doing his job, and sometimes his job is, you know, especially with Sheldon there now too, sometimes it is just to hold the fort down or whatever. But yeah, we definitely haven't, you know, heard his name as much. And I think it's really the last handful of weeks where the Seattle defense has stepped up on rushing, stopping the run anyway. So this one's a big one, man. This one is a big one. Wilson having, like I said, a good, really good year, 29 touchdowns, only 5 picks. I'm sure he's got a couple rushing touchdowns as well. What's your feeling on this one, man? Are we going to lose another primetime game, a must-win against a good team, and then be stuck to having to win three in a row to end this season?
It's looking that way. You know, I don't like to be a dark cloud or anything like that, but it just, maybe we're not as a good a football team as we thought we were. In all due respect, it's been a heck of a schedule. We've been put in some situations that other teams probably haven't had to face. For example, all the night games and the primetime games. Now, when you're used to that, like the Patriots, of course, they have been playing those games for a long time. But for us, it's, you know, getting that first place schedule, all the first place attention. We're a good team. I don't know if we're a great team. And I think that was the same last year. We just got a lot of things that went our way. We had some things that didn't, injuries and to Cook and to Bradford. But then, you know, Keenum came in and managed to save that part of the season. It's getting to the point where, you know, it's looking like we're a 9-7, you know, an 8-8, a 10-6 type of team, which is kind of what we thought we were. Let's hope we land on the 10-6. But, yeah, I don't like us going into Seattle. We haven't had a lot of success. I have memories of Sean Alexander running all over us and stuff. We just haven't – I don't have any good memories of going down there and playing. I think that it'll be a close game, but I think Seattle wins this one, and then we have to go and win the last three, which isn't impossible. I think it's Miami, the Lions, and the Bears, but that just adds a lot of impact to that final Bears game. And they're playing good. They lost to the Giants, which was good to see. Hopefully that foretells of maybe them coming back to the pack a little bit, which is what we need them to do. But, yeah, I don't like the Vikings going down to Seattle, but I hope I'm wrong.
Are we just going to get smacked around, or what are you looking at score-wise? I think it was 45.5 was the over-under, 45.5.
We could get smacked around, but I don't see that happening. There's a lot of pride. I think it'll be a see, what was the over-under, 45?
Yeah, right around there, yeah, 45.5.
I'd say it'll be around there. If I'm pressed on it, I would go with the over on that. I think each team will score over 22 points. So, yeah, I see it like 30-23, something like that, Seattle. Probably something in the last 2 minutes will decide the game. Could go as far as saying that whoever has the ball last wins. I want to see the Vikings win, and I think there's a path to win the game. And I think if you rush Wilson smart and really cover the outside, particularly Lockett, he's the type of guy that seems to get open on defenses like ours, and stop the run. If you can do those things, it could, you know, we could win by a large margin, but I don't see all those three things coming together. So I think we're going to give up something. I think it's going to be probably the run game, and they're going to probably run for a nice amount on us. Just, you know, the pattern of the year just seems to be going that way. So I'm going to say like 30-27, something in the last bit will fourth quarter, late part of the fourth quarter, something will happen. And I'm going to go with Seattle on this, but I'm rooting for the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, the bounce back is there. Zimmer has been pretty consistent with the bounce back. We had a game similar to this where, although I say similar, because Seattle's playing better than Philly was playing better early in the year. But when we had to go on the road again, we had the Rams, and we had to go on the road and that type of thing. Or was it Buffalo when we had to do that? I can't remember right now. But yeah, it was the Rams. It was Buffalo we lost and the Rams we lost. But then we came back and it was a must win at Philly. We played pretty damn good. Now they tightened it up as I expected them to do in that game, but they played pretty damn good. But I just, it's really tough to have the confidence that they're going to go and do it to actually make the pick. And when I'm making a pick, I kind of feel like I'm putting money on it. That's the way I look at picks when I make them. And I'm with you, man. Right now, I just don't know if we can get over that hump. It doesn't feel like it. Doesn't mean we can't make it to the playoffs and whatnot. And who knows, week 17 at home against Chicago, what that could be. Could they fall apart in the next couple of weeks? Sure. Could they not need it and still be the third seed? Sure. Maybe. You never know. I guess we'll see when we get there, obviously. But yeah, I'm thinking like 24-20, Seattle gets it done, but I think we'll get smacked around somewhat. I believe with the running game as well, but, I think it should be a tight game. So we're both going against, well, we're not going against, we're picking against, we're logically, we're trying to, you know, hold our heart and just kind of think, have the blood pump upwards to our brain and go, okay, what's really going to happen in this one? And sometimes, well, you just got to be realistic, but you got to go in the games. It's just like when you're a Vikings fan in the playoffs, you kind of got to go in the game like, hey, man, there's a good chance we could lose this game. You know what I mean? Just because of your own well-being, I guess you could say, as a Vikings fan. You know what I mean? It's like you just have it kind of built in as a Vikings.
And had this game been at home, I think that would change my opinion, you know, change my opinion completely. I think we could win this game at home and probably by a pretty good margin. It's just something about going down to Seattle that, you know, can you remember a good performance down there? I'm sure there's been one, but in my mind, all I see are big plays by the Seahawks and us not doing well down there. And boy, I'd like to see that change, you know, and you know, going forward, Chris, like, okay. We'll touch on this next week, I'm sure. But this is kind of the cliff, you know? If you lose this game, the whole outlook of everything sort of changes. Yeah, you can win the last three. But, you know, then you take a real hard look at, like, okay, this is the squad that we have. What can it do? If you win this game, then you go, okay, you know, maybe we're getting this thing back together. It's, you know, we're getting back on track. Things are happening in a positive way. But the trend that we see going in with all the different variables, the scheduling of the games, the TV, the, you know, whether it's a conference game or a division game, how we performed, the trend of it, like you said, thinking with our heads, the trend is showing that, you know, if I had to bet, like you said, you know, I'm going to pick the Seahawks on this one, but not by much. And, you know, wholeheartedly, yes, it's a pick 'em. Anyone could win this game. You know, it's just who shows up and plays, you know, and it's hard to tell who's going to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point about being at home. I feel a lot more confident about it, no doubt about it. And you're right, man. If we lose this game, then it would be like, all right, you look back and say, so how many quality wins do we have? And then you go, okay, we can win these next three, but what are we really going to do when we get there? You know, we're going to limp all the way down the line and just kind of ease our way back in there. Now, of course, we've seen other teams do it. I remember the Packers in 2010 needed to win their last three to get in, and they ended up winning the whole thing. So it's not impossible, but it's just your mind state going in and then the extra layer already being a Vikings fan, kind of just, oh man, here we go. But you're right. I can't think of too many positive things. Alexander, you can even go back to Chris Warren. I see Steve Largent just getting open left and right on us. Like, I don't see a lot of positivity when it comes to going there, man. And that stadium does, you know, it's outdoors, but that thing gets freaking loud as hell. So, especially when they're playing a lot better than they have been.
And let's say it comes down to a kick. I mean, how much faith do you have? It's next,
you know what I mean? I'm turning the fucking TV off at that point. I'm
right.
Not even going to go
you
through
know.
It. I'm going to turn it off and then go to Twitter and see if we fucking won or something. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
It could be a beautiful,
yeah,
you know, start at
run
the,
this long
it could be
drive.
A start at
13
yeah.
play drive, you know? Yeah. And then you're just like, yeah, but dude, it doesn't matter that we get all the way. We got to get in the end zone. There's not enough time to get in the end zone. Okay, well, here we go. You know, yeah, that's true, man.
Right.
That's a good point.
You know,
we got this 2-minute drill going to win the game, and you still feel like, what's the point of all this?
Yeah, I mean, let's say you line up a 30-yarder. I mean, that's less than an extra point. I mean, do you have faith in that outside with the wind and the history and the way that kickers performed? It's just like that's your 3 points right there from the bookies, you know? So, yeah, it's a tough call. But, you know, go Vikings. Let's hope that they get it together and go down there and play real well.
Definitely, definitely. So that about wraps up the Purple People Leaders podcast, Vikings-wise. Now, generally speaking, you know, all year long we've always had a Minnesota Gopher football segment. We don't have recap. We don't have necessarily a preview that we're going to cover this week. We do now know that we were facing Georgia Tech in Detroit, which I'm sure, you know, once they get in the stadium, it'll be cool. But they're probably thinking, huh. Kind of felt like, you know, maybe like a spring break vibe or something, but you're not going to get that flying a handful of hours southeast just to Detroit. But, hey, it's really about the practices, and, you know, that's something that we'll talk about as we get closer. But we did mention last week or 2 weeks ago about, you know, the transition we will make after, you know, in February, after the Super Bowl, after the Viking season's done. That's how we all got to think. I mean, not really, but you hope. But whenever this season ends, you know, the Purple People Eaters podcast will be pretty much year-round. You know, we'll have free agency. We'll take a little break after the season, but free agency kicks in, then the draft and camp, second wave of free agency. We're going to be on and off with you, you know, for not just the rest of this year, obviously, but all the way kind of year round, like I said. But we also on a weekly basis will be turning it, you know, how we do a Minnesota Vikings, a little bit of Gopher stuff. We're going to be doing that for basketball to a Minnesota basketball themed show covering the Gophers and covering the Timberwolves. So just real quick, just to end the show here with a little segment anyway. We know that this is a football show, but we're just that's why we put it at the end for those who are interested in local sports in general, football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. You know, the Gophers had a little bump in the road here, especially at Ohio State. They just, you know, I like that they're playing this schedule right now, though. We've played some competent teams. We played some very good teams. Ohio State beat us up. We look like crap. Now, we can sit there and say a late Friday game, you got to turn around and do a freaking Monday, you know, Monday or a Sunday night game on the road. You know, that's not easy. That's not easy. But it is what it is. Boston College, there's just moments where I think that Boston College game for the Gophers was kind of like writing on the wall from that Washington game where they just shoot, you know, they shot poorly. They definitely shot poorly, but so they didn't deserve to win that Ohio State game, no doubt about it. They play like crap. They got smoked. I thought they were in the Boston College game enough, but I really felt like if you're going to shoot that bad a percentage, you're going to get beat. You know, that Washington game, we could have got beat, obviously. If it wasn't for that three, we would have. So that one, you know, but then we bounce right back a couple days later, get a win over a Power 5 conference team. Okay, cool. That works for me. Like I said, we dropped a bad one. But then last night, they came alive against Nebraska, down the stretch especially. They were kind of spurty. I think this is especially offensively. That's what type of team we're going to be because we don't have the outside shooting. Of course, we got Gabe, the shooter, but not a lot of these guys are necessarily known. Coffee can hit some, you know, whatever, but we're not really going to be a big three-point shooting team this year. That may ultimately burn us and may lose a handful of games just off that. But to get bounced back, you know, against a ranked team last night and to come back and stay in that game, overtake it, and then Deanne, that was impressive, Aaron. And I mean, Coffee last night, the guy had 32 points on 16 shots, went to the line, 14 of 17 he made. He had 6 boards. Oh yeah, 6 assists. The guy was a freaking stud. We got a variety of the starting lineup all pitched in at certain spots. This has been an interesting, you know, run that we've had. We've had some competitive games, some teams where you go, Utah, okay, A&M, I know that. Washington, okay, Boston College, Ohio State. We've played a lot of teams in this stretch run. We're 7-2. We have 1, 2, 3, so we have 4 games now over the next almost month before we got to go back into that Big Ten schedule against Wisconsin. So we should win all of these games. We also should get Curry back too, which is really going to be our starting center. I don't think people really realize that because they just assume this guy that we got there, the freshman, who had a nice game last night, but he's still kind of tentative, still kind of figuring it out. Overall, nutshell, man, what do you think of the Govs so far? We talked about them a little bit because they had that success at that Vancouver tournament, but now they've, you know, they're 2-2 in the last 4 games, but we're not playing no ones. We're playing teams that are ranked and stuff.
You know, Pitino's been here for 5 years, and it's been a rocky sort of experience. He's had a good year, a bad year, injury year, good year. You know, it's been up and down. As we talked about Fleck and building his program, we're starting to see Pitino build his program, and they had a great win last night, come back from 12 down in the later part of that game, gave up no points, played great half-court defense, fought their way back in that game, and then won at the end. Something that we don't see here in Loserville too often, and it's a really gritty performance against a good team that's kind of been a thorn in our side for the last few seasons. And it was just really, really good to see Coffey, you know, take control of the game. I haven't seen that from him or any other golfer for a really long time. And he really just took the ball, took it to the rim, got the fouls, made the free throws, which was important. And I kind of doubted that squad after the first half, and they just kept showing me more and more a will to win. And that's what I really wanted to see out of them. And I hope that continues. The scheduling, you know, I'm not huge on the fact that you're playing these games, Big Ten games early, but yeah, for the fan wise and things like that, you know, it's good to see good games and quality opponents early in the season, you know, instead of, you know, Southwest Missouri State, the things we're probably going to see in the next 4 games. But
right,
I didn't like the fact that they had to play that game off a 1 day rest. I'd like that in the tournament, but I don't like that in the scheduling type of thing. And I think that has
especially
something to do
the
with
road.
A lot. Sure. And a good squad, Ohio State's nothing to laugh at. So, you know, I thought that was kind of questionable, but I think every team probably has to deal with something like that. The Boston College loss was just, you know, first road game for those kids, a true road game, pretty hostile environment. They're all kind of young. So I, you know, I can sort of understand that loss, but looking forward, man, I mean, in projecting to next year, I mean, you've got a starting five of something I project like Washington. If he continues to play well, he's, you know, he's an interesting player. I don't know if he understands the offense or listens to the coach at all, but if he can get it together, you're looking at, you know, Washington, Kelcher, Omersa, Oturu, and maybe this Hurt kid, if he signs in at center. I don't know how old Curry is. I think he might be a junior. But, you know,
he's a
starting
sophomore
five,
because he got that red shirt. He got that red shirt from the injury. So he's a sophomore.
Okay. Well, then Curry, you can pencil him in there, and that's a really nice starting five. And then you can build depth under that with recruiting. It just seems like this is kind of that beginning of a build of a program the right way with good players. You know, he kind of – it didn't seem like his recruiting was all that great, or he just wasn't getting in the right homes prior to this. But that crop from Minnesota, and he's got some more kids coming in next year, and I feel like this is kind of the beginning of a really good sort of perennial program if things go the way they are and there's no trouble on campus and things like that or injuries. But, yeah, I'm really happy about this team, and I really like them going forward, and I think it's a good thing, and I'm going to keep watching them all season because I'm really, really interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, and, you know, last year was a bummer because you're looking at, a potential Sweet 16 team, and he never got to really see kind of the work of 2-3 years worth of recruiting and development. We never got to see that, you know, when three out of your five starters are not playing for most of the season, and then one starter can't practice because he's hurt, you know. So that kind of sucked last – or not kind of. It totally sucked last year. And I'm glad there wasn't any kind of dumb firing Patino off that, because we could have really seen the first couple of years of being here what he could have done. So I think he recruited very well, actually, in that time. I just don't think we got to see. I think we got to see when we got that fifth seed and we were number four, I think, in the Big Ten. I think you got to see what that – I'm not going to say the top out, but – where we can be on a consistent basis, I'd put it there. And then, like I said, last year we didn't get to see if we would have gotten to the Sweet 16. And just imagine the feel of everybody. And you know, kind of transition into this Timberwolves squad. Last year we didn't get – if we would have gotten that third seed and had a first round where we won and gotten to the second round – you'd never really know. Well, first of all, everybody's spirits would be up. I don't care. If we got to the second round last year, our spirits would have been up, everybody. I don't care what anybody says now, that's where we would have been. And we would have been saying, this is the big three. Once Golden State's done, it's over. It's our time. You know, everyone would have been there. But since, you know, Jimmy got hurt 18 games down the stretch, we just snuck in barely. The West right now is all over the place. I never would have thought that I'd say the top four teams right now are more consistently – they're just more consistent. Right now they kind of feel better than the top four on the West. And I'm saying right now, we're 20-some games into it. But since the trade, we talked last week how the fit, you know, and even when they made this trade, the fit, it was going to be a better fit. Obviously it had to happen this year. We still have to get better in the coming years to equal up to anything we could have done with Jimmy in the next couple of years. I'll say that. Of course, Wiggins and Towns wouldn't have been used as properly with Jimmy here. We all know that. But that's gone now. That's done. This Covington dude, you know, he leads the league in steals and leads the league in deflections too. He's all over the place. And difference, you know, the difference with Jimmy, you know, him and Jimmy, a lot of people, oh, he's better than Jimmy. No, he's not better than Jimmy. He may be a better defender, just barely. But you got to remember, when you don't have – when basically all you got to do is sit on the three-point line on offense, it sure helps you energy-wise on the defensive end. And so if he went to a different team where there wasn't even a Wiggins and he was the second guy, maybe then we'd see him wear down a little bit. But that doesn't matter because he's a fit here. And this guy, he's just so quick release on his three-pointer. And the way he's still saying stuff after games, before games, in interviews, on the court, even in the huddle, you can see he's still saying stuff. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. Talk, talk, talk. He's just not saying it as much as a dick as Jimmy Butler would say it. And I think we talked about how Thibodeau can be kind of that stern, hard-nosed dude, maybe a double entendre. You know, the double dick stuff wasn't – well, not maybe. It wasn't really producing consistent product and improvement from Towns and Wiggins. But, man, this guy, whatever he's doing, he's on the same page with these guys. And – Towns is back to what we kind of felt like the first couple of years. He's really carrying defensively now. He had 6 blocks last night. And, you know, there's about 3 games, especially 2 in a row, where Wiggins was just gone. We know he's just consistency, he's not his game. But last night, he was ridiculous. The guy had 6 assists to go along with what he was doing. And Towns had this just all-purpose game. They were down in the game, ended up coming back, and it just putting a whooping on them. The defense is just so much to improve. Sure, it's a 10-game sample size, But, I mean, they're just a different team right now. They really are. And they go deep. They go about 11 deep, Aaron.
Yeah, well, 6 of the last 7 and 9 of the last 12. I mean, I'll take it. That's something we're not used to seeing early in the season from a Wolves club. Wiggins, you know, one thing I like about Covington is he seems to have woken up Wiggins. And that's something Jimmy couldn't do. And you're right about, you know, when you talk about two people being kind of hard-ass like Thibodeau and Butler were, I mean, those are basically bullies, you know, and there's this one way of maybe trying to motivate, but there are other ways of doing it, and who wants a bully, you know, trying to get you motivated? At some point, you just, you know, hit him in the face or can flip him off, you know, that's just how it goes, and I think maybe there's a more productive way of going, and if anybody can wake up Wiggins, I'm happy about that, and he's playing more. It seems like there's more of intensity in what he's doing, and we'll take that. I mean, we need that with what we're paying him, and the way we're constructing this team. Cat and Wiggins have got to be a huge part of that, and Cat's starting to step up a little bit. Now, I heard something that the new Fortnite's coming out tonight, so we'll see how he plays after that.
Oh,
but,
boy, here we go.
He likes to play. Yeah, apparently it's a whole new game,
so
and he's got to learn
one.
It all. So. Right,
oh,
so hopefully he can you know, ignore the temptations of Fortnite, but it just seems like the team chemistry is better. I like Saric. I like the way they're playing. They're playing defense, which they didn't do that last year, Chris. And Butler was a big guy. I think Butler just kind of came in and just started yelling at dudes. And these are young kids. Like, you know, I think he was just kind of that kind of bully type of guy. And, you know, Philadelphia's having a good run right now, but wait for it, you know? Wait for it. Wait for Butler to sink in. And you know, I got a feeling that that's not going to last very long either. He just doesn't seem to be the type of guy that you want to play with. But, you know, we'll see how it goes there. They could do incredibly well this year. But, you know, next year.
Simmons and Embiid are already natural defenders, too. So that helps. Maybe he won't need to yell as much.
Yeah, I like Simmons and Embiid. I think that's a good squad. I just don't like Jimmy much. And, you know, I'll probably get over that in time. But I just didn't like the way he conducted himself while he was here and some of the things, you know, mostly towards the end. Last year I was on board, like, hey, no, stop. No, stop. You know, I thought you're really going to see some good things. And he got injured and we dropped in seeding. And you're right, maybe, you know, going to the second round last year would have changed things. But, you know, back to woulda, coulda, shoulda, the way it went down is the way it went down. And I'm glad that somebody's woken up Wiggins and we're on a good run here. And I can see it continuing, you know, barring injury and, you know, getting that winning taste, maybe learning how to win on a nightly basis. You know, that's something that needs to happen. And if that does happen and add a few more parts, I mean, we could be good for a long time.
Yeah, the way it's set up, you know, and even if you look at, because people say, well, KG was a hard ass. Yeah, but Flip wasn't. Flip wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, Flip was an offensive coach. Flip was an offensive coach. He'll tell you, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say he's obviously not going to tell you, but, you know, he was just a mild-mannered guy, offensive coach, and so he wasn't – it was just a little different. So, yeah, maybe that double dickhead, you know, maybe that pause. Maybe all that just didn't – it just didn't blend that well, especially this year, obviously, and – it did blend well, though. It hurt offensively. It hurt Towns and Wiggins. We can't say it didn't blend well because, like I said, we had a pretty damn good season last year. But it doesn't matter now. That's gone. Like you said, coulda, woulda, shoulda. At the beginning of this year, that's a whole different story. Once I saw Jimmy swinging the towel on the road at Golden State along with the fans, I washed my hands with him. Nope. Like, you can't do that. That's one thing you can't do. You can say this, you can say that. He actually had a point at sometimes too. I think Glenn Taylor did fuck up this situation. I mean, if you're going to say you're going to sign someone and then you don't, and then you extend them for way less money he can get in 9 months, that is a dumb move or a dick move, however you want to say it. Maybe ultimately it won't be dumb. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that, but it is what it is. And yeah, as far as you know, maybe a year and change with Jimmy and maybe a year and change with KG, maybe getting that taste, like you said, of the playoffs, maybe all this stuff, and then now we have a rebuilt, you know, team. If you look at the year before Jimmy got here, we could score with the best of them, but we kept giving up those leads. We had 10-point leads, I think 20 of them. We led the league in them. Go figure. But we'd lose. And now we have a better core around them as far as what we had before Jimmy got here. So we have a much better core. And even last year, the starting five played top six, I think, defense. But, you know, it wasn't a team defense. Now, when we bring people off the bench, you know, it's key. And not only that, but they're taking out Covington a little earlier so he can come back with the bench, which helps as well to have that going. So is there anything else before we wrap it up, sir, besides go Vikings, of course?
No, it's going to be an interesting game down in Seattle, and you know, like next week we'll talk about maybe what we see this team and who they are and what we see going forward. I think we'll have a better idea of exactly what we're dealing with. So that'll be good.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, well, let's get out of here. Go Vikes. We'll be back next week. You guys take it easy. Have a good weekend. Peace.
Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it.